Just recently, we celebrated a very beautiful feast, one of the most beautiful feasts in the entire liturgical year, namely the Feast of Corpus Christi. This feast is special because it commemorates one of the most amazing proofs of God's love and one of the most beautiful mysteries of the Catholic faith, which is the Holy Eucharist. We are very used to the idea that our Lord is really and truly present in the tabernacle on the altar. And we take it for granted. But if we really understood our faith, we would know that it's the greatest treasure that we can possess to have Him with us in the Blessed Sacrament. We sometimes wish we could have seen our Lord while He was alive on this earth and seen His goodness and His holiness and His miracles. And then we would love Him more than we do now, maybe. That's what we tell ourselves. Well, once one of the nuns in St. Teresa's convent said something like that to her, St. Teresa, and do you know what she said? She laughed out loud. She said, "But He is with us, right in the chapel, right in the tabernacle. You can go into the chapel and pray to Him, and He is just as truly there as He was on earth." Now, it's true that when we pray to Him in His Eucharistic presence in the tabernacle, we don't see His corporeal body or hear His words in the way that people saw Him and heard Him speak when He was on earth. But that's really only a very minor difference, because the real reason you would want to see our Lord is so that you could pray to Him and adore Him and tell Him your wants and ask for His graces. But you can do all of that in front of the Blessed Sacrament just as well as you could have if you were in Palestine 2,000 years ago. So why don't you? The Countess of Feria used to spend many hours in front of the tabernacle every day praying. And one day some of her friends asked her what she did there for all of that time. And she said, "I could remain there for all eternity. Is there not there the very essence of God, which is the food of the blessed?" They ask what we do there. What is there that we do not do? We love and praise and give thanks and entreat. What does a beggar do in the presence of a rich man? What does a sick man do when he sees his physician? Or one who is thirsty at a running spring? Or a starving man at a plentiful table? And so we all should pray to our Lord in the tabernacle to honor Him and thank Him for His presence here. But the best way of all to honor Him in the Blessed Sacrament is to receive Him devoutly in Holy Communion. This is without a doubt the most powerful means of increasing our love for God. And so let us look at the effects of Holy Communion. The first effect is an increase of sanctifying grace. Of course, in order to receive Holy Communion worthily, you must already have sanctifying grace in your soul. Otherwise, you will receive no grace, and in fact, you will commit the sin of sacrilege. But if you do have sanctifying grace, and you receive Holy Communion, the sanctifying grace that you have is increased. It makes us more pleasing in the sight of God, and draws us closer to Him. Well, you might think, that's nice, but why is it so important for me to increase the sanctifying grace in my soul? As long as I have it, even if it's weak, I'm still okay with God. And if I die, I'll still go to heaven. Well, that's true as far as it goes. But let's see what the theologians have to say about the importance of sanctifying grace. St. Thomas says that even the lowest increase of sanctifying grace is worth more than all of the riches in the entire world. What if someone offered to give you $10 million for free? All you had to do was drive across town and pick it up. I don't think you would say that you don't need that money, because you already have enough for your daily necessities, for your food and for your house. You wouldn't say, I don't really need to take that time to drive across town to get it. Assuming you had to think about it at all, and you probably wouldn't, you would probably figure that you can never really have too much money. And in a way you would be right. But if that's true about money, how much more true is that about sanctifying grace? We were not made for money, but we were made for God, and in order to love God. That is all that matters, to be united to God with sanctifying grace as closely as possible. One day we'll die and we'll leave that $10 million behind, if there's any of it left by that time. And then after that, there will be nothing for us but God in eternity. I'm assuming for the sake of this analogy that you have saved your soul, because if you end up in hell, then you have lost everything anyway. But if you do go to heaven, you will see more clearly than you could ever know on earth how good God is and how He is really the only thing that's really worthy of your love. You will see how everything you loved on earth, including that $10 million, was really worth nothing. But your possession of God in the beatific vision will fill you with greater happiness than anything you could even imagine on earth, because you will see how good He is and how perfect and beautiful. But your enjoyment of God in heaven will be dependent on the love that you have had for Him on earth. And your happiness in heaven will be proportionate to the intensity of the sanctifying grace you had on earth. And although you will be completely content, you will wish you had gained a higher level of holiness in this life when you are in heaven, so that you could appreciate God more fully. After Saint Teresa died, she appeared to one of the nuns in her convent and told her that all of the saints in heaven, without any exceptions, would be willing to come back to earth and remain here until the end of time, suffering all of the miseries of the human condition, just to obtain even one tiny increase of sanctifying grace. But in Holy Communion, you receive an enormous increase of sanctifying grace. The Church teaches about Holy Communion, and in fact about all the sacraments, that it causes grace in our soul by its own power. Now, what does this mean? When you pray or you do a good work, the increase of grace that you receive is proportionate to the effort that you put into the prayer or the good work, or the cross that you bear. But a sacrament is different in that it has an intrinsic power to cause grace in your soul. The increase of sanctifying grace you receive is not exactly caused by your dispositions, although the benefit that you receive is certainly proportioned to the piety with which you receive the sacrament. But the grace that you receive is caused directly by God. And so, because of this, the grace that you receive in Holy Communion, and in any sacrament for that matter, is far greater than the grace you receive from any other good work. And the effort, for this reason, the effort that you put into receiving communion well is exponentially more fruitful than any other religious exercise. So you should make every effort to dispose yourself well for Holy Communion in order to receive as much benefit from it as possible. You certainly need both prayer and the sacraments to save your soul, but if you are careless about how you receive the sacraments, and you don't make an effort to receive Holy Communion well, with a devout preparation, a recollected reception, and a thanksgiving in the church after Mass, you will miss out on an immense amount of grace that you could otherwise have had very easily. Another wonderful effect of Holy Communion is that it preserves us from sin. And the venial sins that we commit are forgiven if we're sorry for them. Just as the human body is continually and gradually decaying and becoming weaker, and we eat food to replenish our stores of energy and to repair the damage to the cells of our body that result from our daily activities. So in a similar way, we need to feed our souls for a similar reason. As we go through the day, we commit numerous venial sins of impatience, of uncharity, of gluttony, sensuality, and other things. And we become excessively attached to the things of the world and gradually more and more forgetful of God. And our soul gradually, in a way, deteriorates from this wear and tear, or this abuse, actually. And if we don't counteract it, it will gradually become worse and worse until we suffer a serious collapse into grave sin and possibly lose our souls. But fortunately for us, God has given us a remedy for this problem, and that remedy is Holy Communion. Holy Communion gives us a great boost of grace, and it realigns our minds towards God, and it makes us love the world less, and makes us less attached to sin. Our Lord enters into our heart and pours such a tremendous infusion of grace into our souls that we repent of our venial sins and we resolve to serve Him better and love Him more in the future. The graces that He gives us in Holy Communion preserve us from mortal sin as well. They do this by diminishing our passions and reducing the power that the devil has over us. People who receive communion frequently and well are not as bothered by their passions as those who don't. And if they should be violently tempted, the grace that they receive in Holy Communion will often protect them from giving full consent to the temptation. So how do we receive communion well to obtain all of these benefits? First of all, we must be in a state of grace. And then the best preparation is to hear Mass devoutly, following along in the Missal and uniting our hearts with the actions of the priest who offers the Mass. Because he is actually offering it in the name of the people and in the name of the whole church. Arrive at Mass early, at least 10 minutes early, and say the prayers before communion that are in your Missal. And when you receive communion, try to excite yourself to a fervent love of God. Try to keep distractions out of your mind as much as you can. And talk to our Lord in your heart, in your own words. Tell Him that you love Him and want to do His will as well as you can. And then continue your thanksgiving for a few minutes after Mass, too. And if you put off going outside and talking to your friends or going home for a few minutes extra in order to pray to Him, He will reward you very highly for that sacrifice that you make in order to be with Him. And always remember the solemn promise of our Lord, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.